joining us to talk about the about Earth Day Expo from Citizens Climate Lobby, Angie Winter. Hi, Angie.
Hi, Angie.
Good morning to both of you. Thanks for having us.
Sure. You're welcome. And then, of course, we have Denny Olson, the professor, is here.
Okay.
All right. I'm noticing that the birds are starting to come back, and they're coming back in bigger numbers than they have in a couple of years now.
I think you're right. It seems that way at my feeders as well. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. You know, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I just noticed the geese are coming into Lower Foy's Lake now. Mm-hmm. And, man, they're coming in, and we've got our two resident swans in there now, about to have another set of babies.
Nice.
Yeah. So what happened the last couple of years? They stopped coming.
You know, I think there was a big storm that hit them in Colorado on the way here last year.
Oh.
What was it called? There's a atmospheric river kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And then the year before that and last year, I think that the bird flu has been taking a toll on those guys too. So the ones that live through it are going to be resistant to it, thank goodness. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, on that note, let's move into, first of all, Citizens Climate Lobby. Talk with us about your organization.
Yeah, so Citizens Climate Lobby is a nonpartisan national nonprofit that advocates for policies to mitigate climate change. Specifically, mm-hmm. we look for federal legislation that's effective in reducing net emissions and building bridges, both in Congress and in our communities. So we're going to have a table at the expo, and any fellow citizens that would like to learn more about our advocacy work, that would be a great place to go and learn more about us.
Well, you say you're nonpartisan, which must be kind of hard to do when you're arguing for climate change or against climate change or just dealing with that whole subject matter.
Well, if we're going to solve this massive challenge that we have, it's going to take everybody to do it. And we need to engage everyone in the conversation. So we're not going to get there if we take sides. Okay, so that's why it's very important to us to be nonpartisan.
When we think of partisan, we think of political affiliations. Do you find people from all parties that are concerned about climate?
Increasingly, I'm finding everybody, regardless of political persuasion, is interested in this because most people have parents, they have spouses, they have children, and increasingly they have grandchildren. Yeah. And if we're going to have a planet that's livable for all of us, we've got to solve this challenge. So everybody's interested in talking about that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I was in New York, and I think it was 2006. And listen to me, and attended a screening of An Inconvenient Truth, and just happened to be with a group of professors from Columbia University, and I was the dumbest one of the bunch. The only one didn't have at least one PhD. I don't have any. But first of all, we sat in this big theater, not far from Times Square, and everybody was just mesmerized. And at the end of it, a standing ovation in a movie theater, a standing ovation. Mm. And everybody stood there quietly watching the credits go. And it was like a bibliography of a term paper. And later we went to dinner, and I asked these people who are the ones that you defend your PhD, your dissertation. And I asked, I said, just, you know, irrespective of the material, the scholarship, just the scholarship, was everything attributed properly? Was everything, you know, was it, would, if it were a dissertation, would you accept it? And they said, yes, without question. And yet, for over a decade, we said it was a bunch of bunk.
Somebody did, anyway.
Well, I mean, this is what was happening throughout the media. And finally, we've reached a point here where we realize that this is actually happening in our world.
There have been a lot of studies that have shown that even in the state of Montana, that over 60% of citizens believe that this is happening and that we need to do something about it. And I think at the end of the day, when we're having these conversations, everybody can tell a story. Let's just look at what happened last summer with the dilemma that we had about, do we release water from the Hungry Horse Dam, mm-hmm. or do we preserve that water for winter's energy needs? Lots of people were impacted by that, and it was a great opportunity to have a conversation. We shouldn't have to be faced with those choices. And those are the kinds of things that we want to talk about every day, but especially at the Earth Day Expo.
The argument, I guess, is that our Earth is maturing, and it is changing, has always gone through change, and that it's just a natural phenomenon.
That's an argument a lot of people like to make. And there's no doubt that, yes, there are cycles that are going on regardless of what humans do. But the science shows that we are accelerating those changes, and at a rate that the Earth and, which Denny is very interested in, the creatures can't adapt at that rate. They've done it for millennia, but now it's happening so quickly they can't adapt fast enough, and that's part of the problem that we're dealing with.
As a scientist, I can jump in here and say that about 4,000 to 6,000 years ago, there was a hypsothermal, a time where the temperatures of the planet were about where they're projected to be now, at about 2100, which is pretty warm. But the problem there is that it took about 1,000 years to get there and about 1,000 years to get back down again. And the rate of change is, and that's why the creatures could adapt. And that's why the humans could adapt, because it was a slow transition. So right now it looks like the proverbial hockey stick kind of a graph.
So are you suggesting that perhaps we humans are not going to be able to adapt?
Oh, humans are pretty ingenious. I'm not terribly worried about that. But one of the things that I do worry about, Flathead Audubon is part of the National Audubon Organization. And Flathead Audubon or National Audubon has got probably 10 million different data points in terms of Christmas bird counts and breeding bird surveys and things like that that have happened. And we're down on nesting birds. We're down about 30%. So we have 70% left of nesting birds in North America in the last 50 years, which is like since the first Earth Day. And so it's kind of it's a scary kind of a proposition. The projection is, if we don't do anything, and we've already done some things. So this projection was made before the things that we have already done to mitigate climate change. The projection is that we will be missing in the Flathead Valley 26 species of birds that will have had to move farther north they won't be here anymore at all, nesting birds. So that's in 25 years, 2100. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, it matters to them, it matters to us, because birds are key to our survival with their insect control and carrion cleanup and all the things that the ecosystem services that they provide. So it's pretty important. And we're going to be missing some pretty cool birds on top of everything else if that happens. So far, we're doing pretty well in mitigating that. And most people now think, from my reading, and you might disagree with this, but we're now at, instead of a 3 centigrade degree change in 2100, with the things we've done already, we're looking at more like 2. And that's mm-hmm. good, but that's progress, but we need more.
Are you satisfied with that?
With the progress that we've made?
Mm-hmm.
I think in the last 18 months, from a federal legislation point of view, we've made significant progress. So the passing of the Inflation Reduction Act and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act, if those funds are spent as they're intended to, that is going to make a significant impact on our carbon emission reductions. And so, yeah, I'm really happy about that. But the caveat there was if those funds get spent. So part of what we're trying to do as Citizens Climate Lobby on a local basis is educate. And again, that's part of what we're trying to do with the Earth Day Expo, is give people an opportunity to learn about incentives, for example, that are available to defray the cost of putting solar panels on your roof or putting a heat pump in your house. We're going to have an incredible electric vehicle showcase. For example, if you would like an electric boat, or you're just thinking about buying a Chevy Bolt, or thinking about an e-bike, we're going to have all of those available at the EV Showcase. Wow. So people can learn about those things.
The one thing that strikes me, and this was a quote that came up throughout Al Gore's presentation of An Inconvenient Truth from Upton Sinclair. It's difficult to get a man to understand something if his his salary depends on him not understanding it.
Yeah, that's an interesting, you know, the point there is the same one I like to make when you're standing on the curb and there's a bus coming at you at 80 miles an hour. Are you going to step off the curb or are you going to stay there? The evidence, like scientists like to use, and the facts suggest you better stay on the curb.
Yeah.
And so people will say, I don't believe the evidence. I'm sorry. We believe in evidence every day. That's why we're still alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time perhaps that we take a moment on Earth Day and go to this expo and take a look around and ask a few questions.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear you say that, because that's what we're hoping hundreds of people across the valley would do. Another reason I have for hope is the overwhelmingly positive response we've had to scheduling this event. We have never, as CCL, tried anything this massive. And so, for example, I can tell you that we have three platinum sponsors, Northstone Solar, Carbon Recall, Pioneer Heating and Cooling. Their financial contribution, quite frankly, has made this day possible. We also have gold sponsors, Parkside Credit Union and Wild Montana. But probably the thing that I am really excited about seeing at this event is the student representation. So we have high school and middle school students that are going to be making their voices heard. We know that these kids are going to have a critical role in preserving our planet. So we've given them a high profile role in this event. So if you come to no other part of the event at noon, there will be 8 students that are going to join our youth roundtable and discuss topics such as their motivations for caring for the environment. They're also going to share their ideas about the importance of individual behavior change versus broader policy change. So bottom line, these kids are stoked, and you don't want to miss that noon on Saturday.
So what are you going to do, Danny?
What I'm going to do is talk about the impact of climate change on birds, the projected impact, the best guess impact, because it's always a best guess with science. You know, if new evidence comes along to a scientist like myself, we're gonna look at that pretty carefully. If it's counter to what I believe at the present time, I change what I think. That's pretty much how science works. And so I'm going to be talking about the birds. I'm going to show a movie that I produced for Flathead Audubon, which is called Bird Trouble. And it's about the troubles they've had in the past and possible projected kinds of troubles they'll have in the future. And then talk a little bit about those birds that if in the worst case scenario, we will be missing in 100 years. None of us are going to have to worry about that. And Robin will be happy to know Robin is not one of those birds.
Okay, well, thanks, Dave. Okay, now the event is Saturday, begins at noon. Location?
Actually, it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning.
See, now I'd be 3 hours late. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. So it's at Flathead Valley Community College, Specifically in the Arts and Technology Building, and it runs from 9 to 4 p.m., and it is completely free.
Okay. And there are panel discussions, or there are opportunities for Q&A?
Absolutely. So we have a total of 6 panel discussions, and they offer something from everyone. So we've got one panel on preserving Montana's natural beauty. We have one regarding food security through sustainable agriculture. Uh-huh. We've got another one on how investing in renewable sources like wind and solar can create jobs, contribute to the local economy. So when you arrive at the building, one of the first things you'll see is the information table, and it'll have printed schedules so you know everything that's happening and where it's located.
All right.
Talk with us a little bit about the EV Showcase. What are you going to be able to showcase for us?
So as I already mentioned, we're going to have an electric boat that's actually owned by one of our fellow CCL volunteers you've met before, Robin Paoni and her husband, Bill. I'm also really excited, and I think the kids are going to love this. We're going to have the electric bus from Big Fork, and there's going to be opportunity for the kids to actually go in the bus. Space permitting, they might do a couple of laps around the parking lot just so you can see what it feels like to ride in an electric school bus. And then the e-bikes, REI is bringing a number of them that people will be able to try out. And then, again, speak about support. We have local owners that have stepped up, and they're going to bring Teslas, Chevy Bolts, a Rivian pickup truck, a Ford Mustang Mach-E, and a Nissan Leaf. So check it out.
It seemed like the EVs were just taking off like crazy, and then all of a sudden the productions have been slowing down. And I hope this isn't a trend.
I think this is just a normal kind of adjustment to the cycle. I used to work in automotive manufacturing, and of course any manufacturing business makes forecasts. Sometimes they get it wrong. So I don't think this is a sign of people not being interested. I think it's just the normal adjustment to their forecasting.
A lot of folks are concerned about the batteries and some of the environmental implications of the materials that go into the batteries.
I completely understand that concern. I mean, we talk about extraction and how damaging extraction can be. But when you compare, for example, the extraction of traditional fossil fuels, we have to do millions and millions of pounds of that every year to be able to sustain our current energy infrastructure, versus when you're extracting for electric vehicles, you do it once and you're done. So there is no silver bullet to the problem that we're dealing with, but there are better bullets, and we think that EV manufacturing is one of those.
Finally, zero waste. I'm not sure how we do that.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. So this is a pretty ambitious element of the event. If you've ever been to the Whitefish Farmers Market, you've already experienced this. So they've worked very hard, Climate Smart Glacier Country, working with other organizations such as Dirt Rich Composting, to make that absolutely a zero waste event. And so we said, well, let's try it here. And so the goal is to plan and distribute only materials that are compostable and recyclable. So we're going to have zero waste stations at the event consisting of recycling, compost, and liquid collection containers. Even as we worked with our partners like Audubon and others to make this a zero waste event, you start getting the very typical questions. Well, can I distribute stickers, for example? You know, when you peel off the back of a sticker, it's plastic and it's not recyclable. So we're all on a journey, and we're going to try it. We're probably not going to be 100% perfect, but that's precisely the journey that we're on. Is we're going to try things, we're going to adapt, and we're just going to keep trying to get better and better.
Okay, so we're talking about FECC, the Arts and Tech facility, which is massive, plenty of room to do everything, and you got room outside too. And you're going to do that starting at 9 o'clock Saturday morning.
Correct.
Which is Earth Day, by the way.
I think technically Monday, the 22nd,
I think that's right.
Is Earth Day.
Yeah, but we'll change it.
Hey,
yeah.
We knew we would get better attendance on Saturday, right, Denny?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for what you're doing. It's important, and I hope that a lot of folks will take time to get that side of the story.
Thank you so much.
All right.